Thank you, Michelle, compulsive eater, gratefully recovered just for today. Thank you for inviting me, everyone. Jazzy hands everywhere. So good to see you all. What a blessing and a gift it is. I have to admit, I hate sharing. Okay, this is my third one this week, and I detest sharing, but I'm grateful to be invited here to spend some time with all of you. So welcome to the newcomers, particularly. I remember my first day in the rooms, and if it's yours, you are so very welcome. So I've been invited to share my experience, strength, and hope in my recovery, and I'm really grateful. I'm also aware that it's a big book meeting, so there's a little bit of a twist in there. I've tried to quote the big book as much as I can because I love the big book. I found a new love for the big book. The first couple of years when I came in, I didn't really do much with it, and then my sponsor said, "I suggest you read it again, Michelle." So I did, and I absolutely fell in love with it. And it's very, very much loved, as you can see. I can't find anything because there's too many marks in it, and I've written it all over it. It's marked, it's highlighted. It's got to be a usable text. So I'm very grateful to have that in my life. What a blessing that is. So I'll tell you a little bit about my family of origin. Both my parents were alcoholics. Great house to start in. It was like a war zone in our house. We weren't able to bring friends round because we weren't quite sure what they would observe and what they would find. They were both smokers, they're both drinkers, and demonstrated quite poor behaviour in relationships with each other and with others. And my sister remembers that when it kicked off, I would grab hold of her and we would hide behind the sofa and be as quiet as we could and be as small as we could. And she remembers me covering her ears so she didn't have to hear it. I have no recollection of this at all, but she clearly remembers that. That just demonstrates, how difficult it might have been for us. My top weight, I don't know what it is in kilograms, so don't ask me. 21 stone three. So basically, I carried another human at my top weight. And physically, we don't talk very much about the physical manifestations, but it was really difficult for me to move about. I couldn't move about easily. I couldn't walk easily because my legs weighed so much, very heavy limbs, heavy arms. I had pain throughout my body, my hips, my knees, my elbows, my ankles, my shoulders, my neck, my back, everywhere was under pressure. Because, if you carry another person around with you day in, day out, which I did for decades, then, it takes its toll on your skeletal system and your new muscles. It's quite difficult to keep clean and smell fresh. I couldn't turn and, check when I was driving, I couldn't check the traffic behind me because I couldn't physically turn. And I'd have to risk assess every chair before I got into it. What was it made of? How old was the metal? How old was the plastic? Would it hold me? What were the legs made of? How wide was it? And it didn't matter how much risk assessing I did, I still got once caught in a chair. And I mean caught, I could not get out. That has to be one of the lowest points in my life. We put this mask on, don't we, and have a bit of a laugh. And oh, I'm stuck. Oh, goodness me. But the humiliation of that was hideous. Emotionally, I'm quite aware I wore a mask. I was always this big, happy, jolly person. And, the sadness behind that mask makes me feel very sad to think about it now. I was disgusted with myself. Total denial. I would only ever go out with friends that were bigger than me, and that was a no mean feat to find people that were bigger than me. So then I didn't feel quite so big, and I only went out with people that ate like me. I don't want to go out with people that just push a salad to the side. I wanted to eat, and sometimes I'd eat before I go out. I'd eat while I was out, and when I came back, if it wasn't quite enough, I'd eat when I get back as well. I had cellulitis of my legs, so my feet were like I couldn't walk because it was swollen, so I had to roll everywhere. And my ankles and everything got quite infected, a skin infection with that. My liver was enlarged, my kidney function was awful. I had to go on water tablets, and my asthma was uncontrollable. And guess what? My heart was enlarged, not with love, with just stress, really, and I crushed my discs in my back, and I ended up crushing my hips to nothing. I had to have new hips before I was 50. So I did a lot of damage, right? I did a lot of damage to my body, I'm not gonna lie. And I came into OA during lockdown. It was January the 5th 2020. I've been in ever since. And I'd worked out just before I came in that I needed to put the food down. I needed to put down the food that I really, really wanted to just eat. And I'd stopped eating main meals. I just cut them out and wanted to eat constant and did eat constantly just my alcoholic foods. So no nutrition was going in, just pure sugar, really. But I found the withdrawals really tough. I mean, I can't ever afford to forget how awful the withdrawals are because they're really ghastly. I couldn't, you know, if I sat down, I wanted to stand up. If I was standing up, I wanted to sit down. I could not rest at anything. I couldn't settle at anything. The headaches, the fog. I was itchy, bitchy, and twitchy, if you've heard that term. I was definitely all of those. And it was so awful. I felt so ill, and I just definitely I never want to go back to that. I joined one of the first meetings, which was a 100-pounders meeting in the UK, and I found my sponsor there. And we came up with just a very simple food plan, which I still stick to today. Three moderately sized, healthy meals a day. No alcoholic foods. When I came in, there was nothing in between and no snacks, but now I'm trying to maintain. I'm allowed a snack, a designated snack, not anything I choose. You know, there's two items that I can have, and that's it. That's my choice taken because, you know, I am a person that is always overindulged. I'm unreliable around food, and that's the way it is. So I thought I'd tell you my story really through the spiritual principles, if that's okay. So step one is all about honesty. And I think it's page 58, how it works, tells us that this program demands rigorous honesty. You know, I have to be honest with myself, to God, of course, my higher power, to my sponsor and to my fellows. Without that, I can't get well. When I first came in, I thought it would be a great idea to make a list of all the foods that I don't like and give that to my sponsor, then I can carry on eating what I wanted. It worked well for me, right? And I realised that I wasn't going to get very far with that, even though it seemed a fantastic idea. That wasn't going to work. So I have to be honest in every part of my programme. And part of that honesty involves me sending a food plan over and taking photographs of everything that I eat. So photographs before I start a meal. And if I don't finish my meal, I take a photograph at the end every day. I thought a couple of years ago, I won't need to do that anymore. And I sent her a little text just to let you know I'm not going to do that anymore. I've been doing it for 3.5 years. I don't need to do it anymore. And she said, have you taken that to your higher power at all? No, I bet I had. So I took it to HP, who laughed and said, to be ridiculous. Of course, you can't be in charge of your own food. So here I am. 5.5 years later, still doing the same, but it keeps me well, so I'm willing to do it. Have to be honest, as my disease will tell me not to be honest. So step two is all about hope. The spiritual principle of step two is all about hope, and that's mentioned 34 times in the big book. So I have to have hope for myself. I got hope from you when I came in. So I'd like to give you hope. If someone like me, a real gutter compulsive overeater, can get well, anybody can, you know, in HP's time, not on my agenda, not when it suits me. So I have to give hope to myself and to others, and I feel obliged to spread that hope. And that is the only reason I share. My disease will always tell me that you're boring, you don't have anything useful to say, you've got nothing to offer anybody else. But I have to try, and I'm grateful to be able to do that today with you all. Step three is all about faith. You know, my favorite step of all was step three. I really learned who my HP was. And it was an exciting journey to be on. It's mentioned 36 times in the big book, faith. And page 70 tells us that faith did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. You know, I was beyond human help. I tried all the, you know, the corsets to sweat it out. The tablets, you name it, I tried it all. Every high street way and peg. Sorry, my puppy is shouting. I do apologise. But I came to believe that there's something greater than me. You know, I don't. I'll just shut the door. I'm so sorry. She's only a pup. I see. Shush. Good girl. Shush, shush. Oh. Sorry, everyone. I don't control the sunsets. I don't control the sunrises or the tides on my beach. You know, there's something greater than me. And, you know, is a difficult one, isn't it? But I have to radiate faith in the program. It doesn't matter what higher powers are, it doesn't matter what we call them. I still believe that we all, have the same higher power regardless of how we visualize or imagine them. Step four is all about courage. My goodness, I needed courage in this program. I needed courage to put down my alcoholic foods and to be honest about them. And I'm adding alcoholic foods to my list all the time. It can't be the same all the time. Otherwise, I'm never going to get well. If I have to add something, the freedom I feel the moment I've added it, I can't tell you. Before that, I'm in a right pickle. Once I've made up my mind, once the message is clear, nothing to do with me, and once I've discussed it with my sponsor, it goes down on the list and I'm free like that. How does that happen? That is magic, but it does take courage to do that. And I'm very much a people pleaser by nature, so I've also had to learn the word no. Who'd have thought the word no existed for someone like me, but it does exist. And it's followed by a full stop. No, I can't, but thank you for asking me. Or no, I can't just now. No, I'm not able to do that. And that has been amazing, a great lesson for someone like me. So step five is all about integrity. So it's only mentioned twice in the big book, but it's more about, I suppose, practicing your own morals, your own principles. For me, integrity, this program has taught me where my moral compass is, what I'm okay with and what I'm not, what I feel is good behavior and what isn't. And I think what happens with that is the honesty. And I'm able to set boundaries now and respect other people's boundaries. I didn't even know what a boundary was when I came into program. How did I get to 56, sorry, 54 years old without knowing what a boundary was? Because I was a compulsive eater, that's why. Step six is all about willingness. So page 13, Bill's story, believe that the power of God is enough and will give you willingness and honesty and humility. I must be willing to try. My HP is always saying to me, be playful, be curious, Michelle. I've always wanted to remain safe in a safe area, but now I can spread my wings and dip my toe in things that I never thought I would, and do it knowing that HP has got my hand at all time. But I must be willing to try everything, going everywhere, even if I'm filled with fear. Through a fear inventory and through speaking to fellows like you, I can sort that out, and I can try it regardless. I'm grateful for that. Step seven is all about humility. My goodness, humility. I didn't know what that meant when I came into program. I had absolutely no idea. I had to ask my sponsor, what does that mean? What do I have to do? How do you get that? Where'd you get it from? And she said, well, you're grateful for things, aren't you, Michelle? And I was like, yeah, of course I am. And she asked me to start making my gratitude list. I had absolutely no idea what I put on it, but she insisted I did at least three a day. And I still do that today. And sometimes I struggle to stop at three, and I don't stop at three, and that's okay. There are no fluffy gray crowds around me. I don't have it easy. I have a son that wants to die quite often. He has special needs and mental health issues. My marriage broke up after a very short time, 2 years ago. I have a granddaughter with anorexia, and there's lots of autism in our family. And things aren't always easy, but there is still so much to be grateful for. I don't find it difficult to find those gratitudes. Step eight is all about self-discipline. Self-discipline, good orderly direction. That's what I have learnt, that's important in my life. I am a chaotic person. Chaos surrounds me completely. But in this program, God has taught me, get things in order, Michelle. Don't ignore them. Don't put your head in the sand. Get to it, get it sorted. Even if it's something small, like tidying one of my drawers or making sure my bookshelf doesn't look quite so chaotic as it does behind us, anything like that, good orderly direction. And it's been really good for me to be self-disciplined, and that's morally, spiritually, practically, financially, and in my choices. I think that's really important. Step nine, all about love. It's mentioned 52 times in the big book, apparently, according to Mr. Google. Into action from page 83 tells us love and tolerance of others is our code.
I'm going to
My
start
first
pushing.
thought must be love. It has to be. Otherwise, I'm not gentle. I've got sharp edges. You know, the worst tool that I possess is my tongue. I can do so much damage if I don't pause and try and think of love first. You know, can I make it loving? How do I make it loving for others? And how do I love myself? That's been the hardest thing for someone who's always been told that I am unlovable. And I learned that I am not unlovable, it seems. I am quite lovable. You've all taught me that in this program, and I'm so grateful to each and every one of you for that. Step 10, perseverance. Oh my goodness, I am as stubborn as a thousand mules tied together. It's one of my character defects, the strongest character defect I have. But that has made me come back to this program and come back to the to OA every day. For 5.5 years, I'm too stubborn to leave. I will not give in to this disease. Thank goodness for that. It makes me show up for service when I don't want to. It makes me show up for a meeting when I don't feel like it. You know, it keeps my abstinence because I can't afford to get rid of it. I can't. I don't know if I've got another relapse in me. I don't want to risk it. So I'll do whatever it takes just for today to get through today because we've all got today. That's it. There's nothing else, just today. Doesn't matter how many days you count up, it's today that matters. And I'm grateful for my gift of stubbornness, which is also slash perseverance. It's turned into an attribute, and I'm grateful for that. Step 11, spiritual awareness. Yeah, that spiritual awakening, really. I mean, where I got to know my HP, where I got to know God. I'd always believed in God, always had God in my life. My family were atheists, my family still are atheists, but even at 6 years old, I would trundle down to the road and go to the local church, which happened to be two doors down. And I'd go in there and I'd watch, a bit like an Alsatian, you know, with 1 year up, 1 year down. And I'd watch how people interacted with each other, how families were caring and loving. And I was a bit puzzled because it wasn't like that, you know, two doors up the road. So I'd always believed in a higher power. But this program really got me to know it. And I didn't know where to start, but I'm quite a visual learner. So I trailed the internet, thank goodness for the internet, and I found an image that portrayed to me my higher power. And it doesn't matter what it was. And I've never found it again, but it's here and it's in here. So it really helped me to get to know my higher power. And sometimes I really struggle to connect with God, you know, and I have to remember that I have to stop. You know, we're always told be still, be quiet, at least, you know, give it a chance. And I'm really pants at meditation because my mind will go 100 miles an hour. I can't seem to slow it down sometimes. But when I purposefully sit and listen to a meditation or some music or whatever, then I can get there. And when I really struggle, I can just put my hands out and I get this tingling. And I can almost feel and imagine, you know, my higher power grabbing my hands. And that just breaks me. It absolutely breaks down my barriers. And I'm gone and I'm there. And I feel that love, that wave of heat and love that hits me from the top of my head to the tip of my toe. And I'm grateful. When I'm struggling, I can get there in a flash now. What a gift that is. I can go to the beach. I mean, for me, it's a body of water. So I live down about 10 minutes from the beach. So I'll go to the beach or I'll go to a lake or a river, wherever. I mean, I can find my HP anywhere, but that's where I particularly find peace in my soul. And it's important to find those special places, and I hope you all find your special place if you haven't found it yet.
Gentle reminder, 1 minute left.
Thank you, my lovely. So step 12, all about service. That's why I'm here. I don't get to keep my recovery, right, unless I give it away. So I'm a sponsee, first of all. I'm a fellow and I am a sponsor. I go to a meeting most days. I do journal. I've got a journal for everything. My goodness, if I've got journals. I don't know what's the matter with me. Why don't I keep everything in one place? But I don't. I've got a journal for everything. And I'm really grateful to be able to write down my feelings. That's where I got to know me. That's where I found my emotional vocabulary. I've had to learn that in my 50s to learn that. I'm 60 now, but I'm getting there. I'm learning new words all the time and I'm using them. And that's great. I do my daily readers most days, and I do try to do a meditation every day. Prayer, start every morning. First person I speak to, thank you, darling, is God. And the last person I speak to is my higher power too. Thank you throughout the day. Try and do outreach. Share at meetings when asked, and that's why I'm here. Thank you, guys. My time is up. Enough. It's time to hear you. Thank you for your service, all of you.